Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Internet Marketing. To you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. Give them a call, +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact. Alternatively, you can talk to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be happy to help. Now today I'm joined once again by Brad Geddes, author, speaker, and co-founder of AdAlysis. Brad, good to have you back. How are you?
Oh, good. Very well. Thanks for having me back, Andy.
It's a big pleasure. And we last spoke, if I'm not mistaken, he says, looking at the screen, so I definitely won't be mistaken. It was back in March this year, I think, and we were talking about humans versus machines. Do you remember that one?
Oh, that's always a fun topic, right?
Yes.
Who's going to win? And that's a good place where humans plus machines is much more powerful, and either on their own if you can work with them properly. And that's the trick, is working with them properly.
Yes, it's the blending of the human and the machine that makes it all as sweet as a nut, as they might say. So just remind our audience, tell us a bit about yourself and AdAlysis.
Sure. So I've been in paid search since 1998. So this is my 21st year doing paid search. And these days I'm co-founder of AdAlysis, which is an ad testing and paid search recommendation platform to get automated suggestions, quick workflows, simple workflows for teams or individuals to manage Google Ads and Microsoft Ads accounts.
Fantastic. Now today I would like to talk to you about something that I probably should have talked about a month ago, because it happened about a month ago. Google have changed their match types, haven't they? Just remind or inform our listeners what this means.
Sure. So they changed phrase match and modified broad match. And phrase match has historically only match to queries when the same order is applied to the search term and the keyword. And they got rid of that. They now allow some reversal of words, some word substitutions, where if you search for, you know, lawn care and the keyword is care for lawn or lawn mowing services, suddenly your ads could still show. And so they're doing some word substitution, which, you know, good and bad. There were also, for the modified broad match, doing word substitution, which before they would only, you know, honor different stemmings, misspellings, and so forth for modified broad. And so they've expanded both these match types to match to queries that would have never been matched to them previously.
Yeah, so basically it sounds like, so just to sort of come back out again slightly, the context of this, of course, is pay-per-click, isn't it? So you basically make your pay-per-click advert. And in the olden days, you could choose pretty much one pretty solid keyword, couldn't you? And you'd know that it would be a direct match. But it sounds like they've made the matching more fuzzy. Is that, have I got that about right?
Yes, exactly. Right. They're starting to, you know, move more into some of how they do the SEO matching where, you know, on the organic side, right, they use a lot of entity association and sort of guessing at times what you want, even though their guesses aren't always that accurate.
Yeah.
And they're moving some of that same type of matching into the paid search realm.
Now, I'm imagining that a lot of companies that rely on PPC, pay-per-click, heavily, are not going to be too happy about this. Am I right in that analysis?
Yes. Yes. So when you look at, you know, this is going to be a happy, not happy, based on your account size and control.
Yeah.
So if you're a small advertiser, you struggle with volume, you don't have a lot of time to go figure out search queries and keywords and stuff, you're going to get more volume. Hopefully it converts, but you're going to get more volume. If you're a larger advertiser and you've spent the time on this organization and research and so forth, suddenly Google might be looking at your keywords and saying, oh, hey, look, these four keywords in your account all match. Mm. I'm going to grab this other one here that goes to a landing page that never converts and use that instead. Yeah. And so for the larger people, this is a so far very poor change.
Yeah. Do you, I know it's a silly question in a way, but you might have a feeling. Why have Google done this? What do you think their goal was?
So Google's recent changes, when you sort of look over the last couple of years, their changes have been geared towards increasing the volume and ease for small accounts.
Ah.
And the exact match problems, some of the responsive search ad stuff going on, these, you know, the phrase and modified broad match changes, they benefit people who don't know what they're doing and can't get enough impressions and clicks and so forth. And there's almost like this assumption that, well, you're a big advertiser or you're really smart at what you do, so you can just figure out how to work on the new rule system. And it's weird because usually, right, platforms cater to their larger spenders. And these last several changes have been catering to their small spenders, which is opposite of how you think of, you know, where support usually falls into place.
It's interesting, isn't it? So I'm just trying to put myself into the boots of a biggish operator now, and suddenly I'm going to guess that they're seeing a lot more hits that may not be as focused for their ads. What do they need to do?
So they need to first identify what these new queries are and if they're working or not. I mean, that's really the first step, is to say, what is the new things we're showing for? We were working with a legal company last week, and the keywords for them, like copyright and trademark registration, right, which is pretty straightforward. They were showing for things like copyright symbols, which someone is just wants to copy and paste into a Word doc.
Oh, right.
Or, right, and completely, you know, registration symbols. And Google's treating words like symbol, logo, and trademark the same right now. And they're obviously very different types of entities.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you want to identify what's new and then ask yourself the question, right? Like, is this something we're okay showing for? If the answer is yes, do you want to show your current ads and landing pages for it?
Mm.
Right. If yes, you can do nothing. If no, then you probably want to make a new ad group for those particular words so you can sort of control it better.
Yeah.
And have like that better landing page. And if it's not, you're looking at this is awful. Then you need to get into, you know, adding negative keywords. So identifying those search terms is really, really important, where that new volume's coming from.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I've just got these visions of like ads with like 200 negative keywords to try and get back to where we were before they changed it. Do you think that's going to happen?
Oh gosh, we probably work with, I don't know, 100 accounts that have more than 1 million negative keywords.
Yeah. That is
so
amazing.
Yeah, having a few hundred negative keywords, of yes, no question, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, why it's useful to realize you can do ad group campaign or campaign negative list keywords of how you want to block things. But, you know, that identification is first. And The other issue that has been caused now, right, is you had this really nice organization you set up. Google changed the match types. And now when they do their algorithm, they say, oh, hey, these four different ad groups could all show.
Mm.
And they're going to have – if you've got one ad group – and I'm just going to use the copyright example because it's top of my head right now.
Yeah.
You have one ad group that's copyright logo, one ad group that's registered trademark, one ad group that's trademark lawyers, right? And someone searches for, you know, registered trademark, and you're like, yeah, we have an ad that talks about registered trademarks. Our website does. And Google decides to show the logo ad instead, which is a completely different thing, not what the user searched for. If they click on it, the wrong landing page, your conversion rates plummet even though you have the right keyword and ad in your account already. And so identifying when the same search term is now coming to multiple ad groups, if there is one that is much better converting for you, right? Or just logically is the one you want to show. You have to identify those and again use negative keywords to control that.
Mm. You alluded there to sort of query workflow. I'm just thinking about sort of duplicate query items and duplicate keywords. Is there a problem there? How do you sort of handle this?
Yeah. So duplicate queries, right, mean the same keyword, the same search term has caused keywords to multiple ad groups to show.
Mm.
And that's what that is, right? So you can go into your query data. Easiest way is to actually just download it, put it in a pivot table, look at number of ad groups by query. Mm. If it's more than one, you have a problem. But in a lot of cases, right, that the simplified workflow is users go into their query data. They say, okay, let me just filter by search terms that have more than two conversions and the CPA is under our target that we have not added to our account yet. Let's select all these and then add them.
Mm.
Now, when you do it that way in the interface, it adds that search term to the ad group that caused that search term to show. And so by using the sort of old workflow, right, of that, you could suddenly have added that search term as a keyword in 20 ad groups.
Yeah.
And now you've not just Google's serving poorly for you, you've actually helped them serve poorly because you've indicated you want those keywords there. And so watching those duplicate keywords has now become really important as well.
So looking, I mean, you know, companies do sort of larger query audits, on a sort of larger time scale. I mean, how do you go about this, larger query audits?
You know, and so we did one a couple of weeks ago for a fairly large company who, when we looked at Google's match type changes, 28% of their unique queries were now coming from multiple ad groups, where previously it was under 1%.
Mm.
So this is a pretty systemic issue, right? So what you want to do is, you know, go into Google, download a time frame, and then change the time frame and download it again. Don't use their comparison because it makes some weird mistakes in cases like this.
Yeah.
And then you could use, again, pivot tables or VLOOKUPs to see how many unique queries per keyword we now had compared to how we had before. So for instance, we had one keyword that went from 28 unique search terms to 2,700 unique search terms with the change.
Oh, wow.
So Google's matching it to everything, right?
Yeah.
And then you want to look to say, okay, over time, what queries have we stopped showing for that maybe used to convert, right? And so you want to do that time frame comparison looking at percentage of growth by keywords, queries you used to show for you don't now, queries you didn't show for you now do.
Mm.
And for each of those, ask yourself, all right, should we be controlling these on our account, meaning they should be keywords, or are they just useless impressions and waste of money? We should remove those. And doing like right now, since it's been around for, you know, 5 weeks or so, doing it last 30 days, you know, now, compared to a year ago, a 30-day time frame,
yeah,
will give you like a really good indication, right, of how this change has affected you and how much work you need to do, or maybe you don't, right? If you're a small account, this may be all positive. If you're a larger company, you may have several hours or days of work to do to fix some of these new problems.
Well, Brad, thanks so much for coming on again and covering this slightly tricky one that happened just over a month ago. If we could perhaps distill it down into two or three top tips for our audience today, what do you think they should concentrate on doing?
Number one, look at your new search terms you never show for before and make some critical decisions whether they should be keywords or negative keywords. Number two, make sure you have a workflow in place for how often you look at search data and how you handle that information. And then step three, on a regular basis, could be monthly, could be just quarterly, right? Do analysis of before and after time frame changes to understand the larger trends that Google's using for your keywords and search terms, so you can put any like higher level strategic fixes in place or organizational changes in place.
Fantastic advice. Thanks, Brian. And how can our listeners find out more about you and more about Adalysis?
Sure. Well, you can find us on our website at Adalysis, Adalysis.com. I'm on Twitter at BG Theory, and I'm on LinkedIn all the time. If you just search for Brad Geddes, you can't miss me on LinkedIn.
Brad, thanks a lot. And thanks, listeners, for listening. The show notes are in the usual place, which is sitevisibility.co.uk/impodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review. Questions and suggestions, the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at sitevisibility. Remember, we have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Brad.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks for coming on again, Brad. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.